You're listening to the Legal Curve Hockey Show post-game podcast. I'm your host for today, Michael Remus, filling in for Drew Mandel, who will be returning from his trip shortly. So, Richie, this is the last one. We've done about a few of these in a row.
That's right.
So, it's been fun.
Drew who?
Drew who is what I was saying has been the last few weeks. But the Jets come into MTS Center tonight facing Carolina Hurricanes, who's been chasing them in the standings. They played on Tuesday, where the Jets won 4-1, and the Jets coming off the loss against Pittsburgh, which was more or less expected. But in order to, you know, maybe put these guys away and put some more distance between the two teams, the Jets needed to win this one. And last season, the Jets, you know, whenever there was a game to get over the hump or maybe to get back in the playoff race last year, they always seemed to come up short. And after winning Tuesday, I thought maybe we were in for a bit of a letdown game, and that's really what happened here today.
Right. Yeah, Michael, the Jets from the outset getting scored on the first shift of the game just didn't seem into the game, aside from Evander Kane, aside from Andrew Ladd, maybe Olli Jokinen a little bit. Nobody really came to play today. Pavlik was fine. But, you know, another performance where the whole team wasn't on board, and that's kind of been the way it's gone this year at home. I mean, there's been some good games, but more often than not, they've been duds. And, you know, I mean, did Brian Little play tonight? Do you remember seeing him on the ice?
Brian Little, he had a breakaway, I think, in the third period.
On a pass from Ladd. And aside from that, do you remember even seeing him do anything?
I thought a few shifts Ladd, Little, Wheeler had a few.
Yeah, maybe, but like you're in the middle of a playoff race. Be noticeable. Create opportunities. Do different things. I realize you got the breakaway on a nice pass by Ladd. But, you know, Wheeler, was there consistent pressure by him? It's hard to beat. You know, I'll put it to you this way. Look at Carolina today. Who are their best players?
Probably Stahl, Semin, Jokinen.
And those were their best players. And more often than not, when your best players are your best players, you're going to win. Both teams aren't great defensively. You know, Pavlik's a superior goalie to Peters, although Peters played quite well tonight. When it came down to it, the best players on Carolina were better than the best players on Winnipeg.
Yeah, I would agree with that. You talk about Ladd and Kane. Kane led all forwards in minutes with about 25-53. That's actually quite a bit. And Ladd with 24-19. So those guys were ridden pretty good. So Carolina started off the game with some intense pressure behind the Jets net. They held it in the Jets zone for about a minute, and they really couldn't get it out at all. Stahl has it behind the net, and Buff can't get it out from behind him. And the puck bounces around and bounces in front, and Semin puts it in.
Yeah, the shift was really just dominated by that line. They started the game against Bufflin and Enstrom, and you could say, well, why do you start with your shutdown pairing against the other team's top line? Well, you'll see later on in the game there was a problem the other way, but Bufflin and Enstrom, their whole team was running around their own zone. Stahl was controlling the board. Semin was dangerous all night. Thought probably the best forward on the ice. Eric Stahl probably one, Semin probably two, and the puck pops in front, and they capitalize. And they, you know, there was just consistent pressure. You thought they might score a couple times on that shift. So that was a well-earned goal, I thought, by Carolina, and the Jets off to a bad note.
And right after that goal, the Jets didn't counter much. They had some pressure shortly after. I remember Bogosian having a shot, which missed the net totally wide, and that's really been a problem all year, shooting and trying to pick the corners so hard you completely miss the net.
Yeah, they can't hit the net. I believe they lead the league in missed shots, or did at some point recently, and Bogosian's one of the probably worst defenders. I haven't looked at the stats, but I'm assuming he probably is in terms of proportion of shots he gets on the net. But yeah, I mean, again, not really, you know, a big game on a 2 o'clock in the afternoon, so the afternoon game, we could argue whether it's beneficial or not, but afternoon game at home in the playoff race with the trade deadline on Wednesday, you think you want to prove to your general manager that you're a team to buy into, that you can do something, at least keep together. There's nothing, no sign of life today.
As you mentioned, you know, a lot of the games the Jets have been winning are games where they have not looked the best, but ended up, you know, squeaking out, which is maybe their record. It doesn't really indicate the team's play, possibly. So 7:40 into the first, Evander Kane takes a hooking penalty, and on the ensuing power play, which we saw much of the Carolina power play coming into the game, ranked, I think it was 27th in the league. But I thought the Carolina power play looked great. They set up someone at the top, passing off to the umbrella on the left and right. Mm-hmm. And it was Jussi Jokinen who had one chance to the right side of Pavlik, and he fell down trying to get the shot off. And later on, he gets a putt back with a wide open net at the side of Pavlik and was able to put that one in.
Yeah, that goal ended up being just after the power play, Michael, so it ended up being an even strength goal. The goal was scored at 9:40. Kane's penalty was at 7:40, so it was identical. So Kane wasn't on it. So Kane gets a minus there. And the whole player, all the players get a minus there because it's at 5-on-5. But reality, as you mentioned, it was a power play goal. Jokinen stands in the seam. It's interesting how the Carolina offense has a different formation for their first and second unit. Some teams are like that. Some teams consistently stay the same in terms of unit to unit. But the seam pass was there, and the seam pass was made from Joni Pikkanen, who plays a little bit around the top of the left circle, and he passes it across to Juuse Jokinen on his off wing. You could argue that Nikolai Antropov didn't collapse low enough to take away the pass, or that Ron Hainsey kind of bit on a play that he probably should have been a little more positionally sound. You could, apportion the blame however you wish, but that pass can't come through to a guy on his off wing that close to the goalie, and he's not going to miss it, Juuse Jokinen, and he didn't, and Pavlik had no shot at it. It was poor coverage on the penalty kill.
Well, he had two chances that shift at an open net, and if you give a guy with two chances, usually he's going to get one of them in. So about 4:05 left in the period, there's a play, Burmistrov had the puck. I think he got hooked, he got slashed, he got cross-checked. There was really no penalty call. Thorburn decides to take matters into his own hands, coming in and dropping the gloves with Timmy Gleason.
Yeah, Timmy Gleason was roughing him up a bit, giving him a cross-check. I don't know if it was much of a cross-check, but Burmistrov obviously moved off of it. Thorburn sticking up for his teammates, comes in there and drops some mitts, and pretty good tilt, actually. He got Gleason with a pretty good one there. But didn't really ignite the forces at all.
No, later on, towards the end of the period, Kane tries to chip the puck by a defender, and draws a penalty call. But the Jets had some pressure. I think Bufflin hit the post there, but couldn't convert.
Bufflin hit the post, and he had some chances today, but Bufflin is kind of giving you some offense, but just giving it right back on his own end. He does not look good right now. Hasn't for the past what, 6, 7, 8 games. Looks worn down, whether he's injured or out of shape, one of the two, but the Jets are going to have trouble doing anything if they make the playoffs without Bufflin at least performing close to the levels of midseason, because he looks awful right now.
I would agree. He hasn't looked like himself since he's come back from the injury he had earlier in the season.
Well, he had a period, I thought, after the injury where he looked pretty good, but I don't know what it is.
Sometimes he looks like a monster out there, and sometimes he looks pretty lethargic.
But he's so heavy.
Definitely doesn't hurt. I mean, doesn't help.
Doesn't help, yeah.
Doesn't help with all that weight. So the Jets needed to come out into the second period, and they did. Kane was with a 2-on-1 with Jokinen, passed it out in front, and Jokinen puts it in what was probably the shortest review in history.
It was
a good goal.
Yeah, Kane was kind of created that play, created a speed, made a nice pass. It comes out up in front from the right side to the left side, and Jokinen puts it in like kind of they paid him to do. So that's Kane's speed and awareness created that chance, and I thought we'd get the crowd back into the game, and down 2-0 coming to the first intermission, getting the 2-1 goal in the first 2 minutes. Things were looking up at that point.
Right, that really woke up the crowd, and I thought the energy in here was electric, and everyone was going nuts. Wheeler had a good pass to Bogosian shortly after on the 3-on-2 or 2-on-1, and who shot into Peters' pads. And I thought Peters, you got to give him credit. He was great. He came out and challenged a lot of the shooters and cut off the angles. I remember Wheeler took a slap shot, I think, from pretty much in the slot. And it had no chance of going in because Peters is just coming out so far to take off any possible angle.
Yeah, and Peters was good. He had the odd rebound at times, but I thought he was square to the puck. I thought he was really solid. And the Jets did have chances. Bufflin at the post talked about, and the breakaway for Little and the chance later on the 2-on-1. Probably talk about that for Ron Hainsey, but those are chances. But they gave a lot of chances up too. And I kind of thought they got into a little bit more of an exchange of chances than they probably wanted to.
Right. Yeah, I would agree. I thought the Jets, their forwards are using their speed a lot in the middle of the second. They're using it to get by Carolina's D. As we said, Brian Little had that breakaway chance. I thought there were a few other chances where the Jets were rolling in the second. But the wheels really came off. It started with Bufflin taking a penalty 10-14, and so it was all in the last 10 minutes. So, and then towards the end of that, Klitsen trying to clear the puck, gets a delay a game.
Yeah, like you look at the penalties. You got Bufflin for reffing. That was a little bit maybe shaky. The Klitsam delay a game is an easy one. That's an obvious call. Burmistrov, that was a clear kneeing to me. I thought that was no question about that. Then Wheeler gets a bogus reffing call for hitting Bellamore from behind. Bellamore taking a jump into Peters. But so you complain about two of the four penalties, but you still took two of the four. You know, still took all four penalties. And you know, while Wheeler, I thought that there was a dive by Bellamore on Wheeler's penalty. What's Wheeler doing hitting him there? And what's the point?
Yeah, they were able to kill off all the penalties, but it really, when you're killing penalties, you really can't score, and it takes a lot of energy out of your team.
That's right, and it saps the emotion out of the arena, and that's exactly what happened, Michael. And on those power plays, there wasn't a lack of chances for Carolina.
No, I thought the Carolina, they were very good at working the puck around from passing. You could kind of, we could see what they were doing. I thought it was pretty interesting to watch.
Well, I mean, Salmon had a rocket from the point. He had some great chances and close to Stahl brothers. I mean, it's a power play that you wouldn't want to give too many more chances to. And the Jets were doing their best to give him as many chances as possible. Even in the third period, you know, Dustin Bufflin got the high stick. You got to be more disciplined than that. And I thought they took some lazy penalties and some undisciplined penalties. And good teams, you know, you look at the minor penalties here, you had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So that's 12 minutes of this. There's no power play goals. That's 12 minutes of a 60-minute game that you're basically saying, well, I can't score. We hope to hold them off the score sheet. That's not a good recipe for success.
Going into the third period, obviously the Jets are down 2-1. They're definitely still in this game. I thought they played their best hockey from the start of the second until, you know, halfway through, yeah, when they started taking all the penalties. But early on, again, I mean, we saw the first goal of the game was about a minute in, and the third goal of the game, 30 seconds in, Stahl and Salmon again have the puck behind the net, and you see Eric Stahl at the right faceoff dot, and he takes a wrister, hits Bogosian in the leg, and trickles by Pavlik.
Good presence again by that line. Yeah, but it was a little bit of an unlucky bounce for the Jets. But, you know, again, the first minute, you got to be more focused. Eric Stahl getting a chance in the slot that close should never happen in the first place. And you look at, you know, the beginning of the game, Michael, you say, why does Klonowell put out Bufflin and Enstrom against the Stahl line? Well, he did that at the beginning of the first period, changed the matchups in the middle of the first, went back to the beginning of the second. At the beginning of the third, he learned his lesson, put out Bogosian and Hainsey. What happens? They allow a goal also. So I don't think he employed his players the wrong way. They just didn't get it done.
I feel like a lot of the Jet goals the Jets give up, somehow there's always a guy at the side of the net who ends up open and ends up getting a good shot on. Maybe not so much in the slot, but off, you know, where the faceoff dot is.
Yeah, fair enough. I think that's a fair point. And, you know, that they call it the house.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're right. There are a lot more chances, I think, in the house than I bet you a fair amount of other teams. Because the Jets just don't seem disciplined enough in terms of their defensive play. And I thought today really exposed the Jets defensively, running around their own zone a lot, you know, really not being able to hide their defensive deficiencies. And I thought overall Carolina's speed gave them a lot of issues. And the Jets can skate, lots of the Jets can skate, but Carolina really had a quick defense to offense transition game. And their speed through the neutral zone was giving the Jets trouble. And now they passed it quite well. The Jets really should have been working down low against Carolina's defense, especially because I believe Carolina's defense is not good along the boards, cannot defend well along there. And I thought the Jets, when they created good chances and good sustained pressure, were doing that. But off of the rush, Carolina guys can skate with you. I mean, you can create some chances, but you also wear them down if you put it in the corner. And I didn't think the Jets have been making a conscious effort, Michael, of dumping the puck in the corner lately.
Yeah.
I'm not always an advocate of that, but I thought tonight would have been a good night to do that. They didn't do it tonight.
There's really not much left to talk about in the third period. You mentioned the Ladd to Hainsey chance on the penalty kill.
Yeah, beautiful play by Ladd. You know, he comes up on the penalty kill. He blocks a shot on the blue line, carries the puck, waits for Eric Stahl to slide by, makes a nice pass to Hainsey, and Hainsey can't score. I mean, goes to his backhand. And
I thought it was a nice move from Hainsey. I mean, Hainsey has zero goals as a Jet, but I think he has a good shot from the point. I mean, he's a better shot than Mark Stewart, who's flipped into a couple goals.
Stewart's got a bad shot. Hainsey's isn't great, but it's not as bad as Stewart's. He makes a play there, tries to go backhand five hole, and Peters kind of knows that he's going to that way, that side. And the only other chance is pulling it the other way. You can't really blame Hainsey, but if you were going to pick a guy to have that chance, he'd probably be the last one in tonight's group, you know, because Klitsam and Meech have more offensive talent, so. You know, it is what it is. Ladd did his best, and I thought Andrew Ladd exhibited great leadership and tried hard, but There were too many passengers on board tonight.
The Jets had a power play at the end. Yoni Pikkanen, who had three minor penalties this game.
Yep.
But they really just couldn't get anything going. I think Bogosian had a one-timer near the end.
Yeah.
But there was – I thought they really gave nothing in the third period. That was their worst period of the game.
Yeah, they were pretty blah today and another blah game.
The Jets' next game is Monday at the Rangers. They play Tuesday at the Islanders. Wednesday is the trade deadline, which we're all looking forward to. And Thursday at Montreal. And that's it for the Little Curve Hockey Show post-game podcast. For the latest updates, follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/illegalcurve. Follow us on Twitter, @illegalcurve. And the website is www.illegalcurve.com. For Richard Pollock, I'm your host, Michael Remus. Good night and good luck.